45.
Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We're on the final parak.
No.
Opus Mahalas Asuras.
No. We have to get a new book.
No, it's all in the same book.
Oh, thank you.
Parak Yitzayin Alacha Aleph is a very nice chapter, not too hard and so far. And it's got very relevant halachas for us, and it's Nogea this week's Parsha, so you couldn't ask for anything more. Okay, we're going to talk about regarding the issue of prohibition that is absorbed in utensils. I'm going to deal with issues of buying non-Jewish utensils, what we have to do for them. That's a general theme of much of the first part of this halachas, and then we'll get to other isurim afterwards. Kederes shel cheres, a pot made out of earthenware. Now, because it's made out of earthenware, there's no way you can repair it. Earthenware cannot be purged. Okay, which is as opposed to metal or other things that can be purged that day, and you can cook permitted things. Okay, so that keeps us in the right focus over here. So kederes shel cheres, if the pot is made out of earthenware, shnis bashel bo besar nevela, you cook some nevela meat in it. Okay, o besar shkotzim uramashim, or you had some real cooked up, you know, grits and jowls and all those other insects and vermin and things like that that are prohibited.
Caterpillars,
fried caterpillars, it's like unbelievable. And it all gets absorbed into that pot. Lo yavashel bo besar shchut b'asayim, you cannot cook kosher shechted meat in that pot that day. Now, what if you did, of course, and weren't supposed to? V'im bishel ba min basor, if you do cook a type of meat in this pot when we told you not to, hatavshel osur. The tavshel is prohibited. The food is strife, and you can't eat it. Why? I'll explain why. Okay, because number one, you cannot discern the taste that's in there. Remember, it's a meat into meat taste. Alright, let's say if that's the case, let's measure it by 60.
Yeah.
The answer is, the golden rule is almost all the case, geometrically, I think that's the right word, if I'm not wrong, algebraically.
Okay.
Yeah. The stuff in the pot will not be 60 times the thickness of the pot. If you look, because you don't know how much, it's a treif pot. You know how much treif got absorbed in all the area of the wall. The whole circumference walls of the pot on all three, whatever sides, the round and the bottom and all that. That's absorbed treif. Now, when you cook something, that absorption goes right into the kosher. So the math equation is such, and I once saw it, you know, worked out, you know, with the figures. And if you really want to know that, I could try to dig it up for you. That's what the angles and the this and the that. The proofs that you would have an unusually shaped pot, like such an unusual pot. But normally, you'll never have 60 times the food in the pot connected that. So that's why you're out of business. However, and I don't know if this will help much more, but bishel bo min acher. But what if you cook something from a different species? Let's say you cooked beans in the pot of a treif. You just did pig's knuckles. So now, all you gotta do is taste the beans. And if there's no taste of pig's knuckles in the beans, you gotta have a goy taste it. No. Right? But generally, we don't rely on the goy, and we would still have the problem of 60 to 1. So generally speaking, we could generally go with this rule. The rule is, if that day, within the 24-hour period, you cooked like mamish treif in there, then if you're going to cook anything in that pot, just throw it out. There's nothing even to call up the rabbi.
Can you benefit from it?
You will not have. It depends on the nature of the isser, if that's something you can't have a benefit from or not. But generally speaking, throw it out. Alright, that's the general rule of thumb. Now, and that's the only situation, so we can't give any other solutions because we're dealing with an earthenware pot. It's not a question of koshering the pot. We can't kosher the pot. The pot, forget it. You might as well throw the pot out while you're on top of that.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's no way to fix up the pot. It's earthenware. We can't purge it. So there's nothing we can do.
You can break it.
So you break it, so it's good, throw it out.
Right? You can use it as a shovel afterwards.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I guess you could. Yeah, you use it for a planter.
That's wiping your shoe on Shabbos.
Take
it for wiping the shoe on Shabbos.
Take it outside and put a plant in it.
Sure.
And you can use it for that.
Why are we just saying the same day, though?
We'll get to that shortly. Yeah. Let's wait to the end of Halacha Beis. When we get to the end of Halacha Beis, and I hope that will be clarified. If not, then ask the question again. Beis. Lo asra Torah ela kedera bas yoma. The Torah only prohibited food that you cook in such a pot if it is considered bas yoma, if it's cooked in that day. Now there's two different interpretations about this. Rashi in Avodah Zarah says it means if the night has not passed. According to Rashi, he does not calculate 24 hours. He says as long as night has not passed, it's a problem. However, Tosfos argues and says it's talking about 24 hours. The Rambam's not clear on this. Rambam just uses the terminology of the Gemara, Bas Yoma, which Rashi and Tosfos argued as to what it meant. We Paskin, it's 24 hours. So the Torah only prohibited this, what's going to be cooked in this pot after the fact. The Torah offers only for what was cooked within the last 24 hours. Why? Hoil v'adayin lo nifka mashumam, because that fatty treif taste that's absorbed into the walls has not been pogam, has not been, what's the English word for that again, decreased or damaged, what's the word they use?
Impaired?
Yeah.
Blemished.
Okay, impaired. Okay, it hasn't become a negative taste, as it were. Shenivla b'keder, that's been absorbed into the pot. Well, now, here's the point, Paul. Umedivrei sofrim, and from the sofrim, we'll have to see exactly what we mean by this Rambam with sofrim over here. But medivrei sofrim will say rabbinically, we decree lo yevashel bo li olam. You can never initially cook it. Okay? Now, of course, if indeed it was not within 24 hours, well, after the fact it would be okay.
If it was longer than
24 hours after the fact it would be okay. But we don't do this for the simple reason, if you will cook things after the 24 hours, we're afraid that you will also cook it within the 24 hours.
So someone asked
and
about
therefore, and therefore, now an after the fact Shiloh is different than a before the fact Shiloh. In other words, if after it was 24 hours, you didn't realize you made a mistake and you cooked it, then it's always going to be okay. Always, if the pot, so I always ask, when was the last time you used the pot? Now, we're talking about treif pots now, not milchiks and fleishik pots. That's a whole different story. If it's a treif pot mamish, and you cooked something in it, and it was more than 24 hours since it was last used, the food will be the evid, okay, you can eat it. Alright? But initially, you would not cook with it. Now, if you did anyway, I don't know if the rabbis would fine you for that. But it's not a good thing to do because you would mix it up and do it when it's within the 24 hours. And that would clearly have to throw it out. Therefore, we say the following: Levikach ein lochin klei cheres yeshanim in agoyim shnishtam shem avochaimim. That's why Jews do not buy earthenware pots that are old from goyim that they've used for hot, because invariably they have cooked treif in it, and even though it's more than 24 hours, but lechatchila we don't cook any kosher food in such a pot. Kegon, what kind of utensils, such as kideros, ukaoros, leolam. You never buy pots and plates, ever, that are used without. Let's just finish the halacha. Vafilo hayeshuin ba'avor. Even if they were glazed over smoothly with lead over the earthenware, we still do not permit it. But what if you bought and you weren't supposed to, but you cooked with them after the second day, meaning the second day after you bought it, and it's clearly not a ben yomo. So we see normally, so then what? Atav shemoter, after the fact it's okay, because it gives off a no Saint tam lufgam. But again, you should not initially buy it, because you should not unless you be using these things. So, but this is all we're talking about, earthenware that cannot be kashered. We're not talking about metal that can be kashered. Then you could buy it from the goy and just kasher it. Up to now, we're only talking about earthenware. Yes?
Almost anything that we buy nowadays has a return policy. So if we go to a store and we buy something, we don't know for sure that somebody hasn't bought it previously and it might have been used.
Well,
but if you know how it's packaged.
They send it back to the factory. They can repackage. It looks perfect.
First of all, it's a suffix. Here's the issues here. Number one, it's a suffix.
It's called factory reconditioning. That's the first.
Let's understand. Of 1,000 pans that you buy in the store, How many, first of all, are returned?
5%.
So let's say 5%. So 50 pans are returned, okay? How many of those 50 pans did they actually cook treif in? Five? Let's say five.
Usually okay. They use it, yeah.
So what's the odds of you getting that pan? Very remote, A. B, even if you did, there's no way you've used it within 24 hours. It's not likely. They used it, returned it, got restocked, and you bought it within 24 hours. Not likely. So the worst scenario is, first of all, and I would say even more than this, the reason we don't use a pot that's been used within after 24 hours, we're afraid you'll use one within 24 hours. Right. But that's a pot that you know that was used within 24, was used right. a day ago. So you know it was treif. Then the taste has been pugum. But here you don't know, so the xer wouldn't even be applicable because we assume it's brand new. So even if you're concerned, what's the worst it could be? The worst is no St. Tom Lifgum.
So don't and buy we, dishes and, at the States.
And we did, and we wouldn't prohibit it anyway because who knows if they were used. Now that's a brand new thing. I would not suggest you go to a house sale by a garage sale and buy the stuff that he's selling whole plates because that you know he used.
But that's the only other way. You can mix for metal.
Yeah, other things you could kosher.
But no, it could be your soup bowl.
I'm just saying, but earthenware you would not do.
But you know, when you buy wine, it says new bottle on it, like Bakbuk Hadash. I mean, they go out of their way to they don't reuse the bottles like for the kosher wine. Often it says.
First of all, what's the problem? It's glass. Glass doesn't absorb.
No, sorry. So why do they go out of their way to make it, that? They do often. I've seen Bakbuk Hadash.
Yeah, it's a lot of times.
I don't know why they bother with that.
Because who's giving it back?
Yes,
anyway,
for
you're buying
super
it in
from Haredim who don't even want things that are mutter. What's the worst that could happen?
Tell me
what's the worst that could happen. A goy, it's from a treif bottle, it's recycled.
I guess our Pesach is a concern. Is it a concern for Pesach at all?
I don't know.
Because if it's, what was it used for? If there's even a, it's used
first
for vinegar,
of all, they
clean, vinegar?
They clean the bottles.
Okay.
They must do a tremendous cleansing of those bottles.
They never use it again, though. Very few wine factories.
Well, what does recycling do?
That crushes the glass up and
right,
melts
so a whole new thing. So yeah. I don't know.
There's no, I can't answer. Any wine factory that takes old wine bottles back and puts
well,
wine in.
Well, we do recycle,
wine.
But I guess
I know, but they crush
up.
It up. They, nobody, everybody uses a new wine bottle. I'm just letting you know.
It's not. It's like, you know, Folgers is mountain-grown coffee. Well, the only coffee in the world is mountain-grown. You ever notice that?
How about vineyard-grown grapes? Vineyard-grown
you know,
grapes.
So that's the same thing, but Bukhadash, because, you know.
We're all good.
Okay, let's go ahead. Gimel. Now, Gimel will be a little bit more explained in Vav. So if you don't have it totally clear in Gimel, Vav will help us out. So you have to be a little patient. Gimel halokeach clay tashmish seuda. If you buy yourself utensils that are used for a meal, as opposed to let's say agricultural items such as a plow, okay. In other words, we're talking about items that are used in the course of a meal that food will touch them, as opposed to a plow. Okay, just get that clear. So what happens? Min hagoyim, you bought things from a goyim. Metal or glass. Let's say you bought metal pots, glasses, things like that, that are all kosherable or no problems with treif, whatever. We're not talking about earthenware that you can't kosher. Okay. Now, so now let's take another step further even. So now let's decide what kind of cases we have over here. So you bought items that goyim have that are kosherable. So now it depends. Has the goy used it before, or has the goy not used it before? Let's look at both scenarios. Dvarim sholin shasham kolikar. Let's say the goy never used it. Let's say now you're buying it from Walmart. And we assume it's not one of the returned ones, okay? So now Walmart, I assume, is owned by a goy. That's my assumption.
Yep.
And now you bought a goy. So the problem is, so what's the problem? Well, there's one little problem. Why? It has to go to the mikvah. Matvilin b'mei mikvah, you immerse it in a mikvah. This is, again, rabbinic. Okay? It needs, as we'll see later in Halacha Hey, the Rambam will elaborate on this. And it has to be in a kosher mikvah. because this is a biblical obligation. I mean, it's a rabbinic obligation. Let's be a kosher mikvah.
A swimming pool.
A mikvah that's broken. You know, there are mikvahs around it.
They aren't connected.
Not in good shape.
Yeah.
You know, don't have to worry. The ones in the local area are in good shape. But then you go to some small cities, the mikvah could be not so great.
But if you go to a big lake,
on Erev Shabbos, it'll be okay. But not for a woman who needs it, and not for Kalin. Okay, anyway, said he could eat and drink off of them, no problem, because the only problem was it belonged to a goy, which will be elaborated on hay. Udvar, now, as opposed to a plow. A plow, you don't have to take to the mikvah. Okay, it's also one of the always about tshuva questions in the early stages. Do I have to take my candlesticks to the mikvah? Do I have to take a bunch of these things?
How about the lawnmower?
Well, and truth is, if you don't know, why wouldn't you ask that question? Because there's no reason not to ask the question. Anything you buy from a goy? No, it's only food utensils that you buy from a goy. Now that's if the goy has never used it. So all we have to do is just take it to the mikvah. However, what if you bought things that the goy used, but he only used for cold? Let's say it's cold drinking glass, whatever. Glasses that are generally used for cold. Usually you wouldn't use a glass for hot, drinking glass. So you could assume it's used with cold. Okay. Kegon, kosos, utslochios, vikitonios, glasses, flasks, pitchers. That only do one thing besides mikvah, meidicha, and you wash your mouth, and then umatvilim, take them to the mikvah, v'hein muteris, and they're permitted. Why do you have to wash them out? Because there could be a residue of some treif. Let's say the goy used a glass for wine.
Clamato.
And there could be a little bit of residual wine or clamato juice. So now you gotta wash out, make sure there's none of that treif stuff in it. But all you gotta do is wash it out, take it to the mikvah, and you're good to go. Now, let's do one more thing, though. But what about things that you know were used for hot, such as kigon yoros ve-kum-kumusim u-mechamim-mechamim. Yoros are large pots. Kum-kumusim, you know what that is, because you buy a kum-kum, right? Kettles, u-mechamim-mechamim, or pots. Those things clearly used for hot, bought from the goy. That we have to go more magilom. We have to purge them in hot water to purge it out, and then umatpilm, and then you take it to the mikvah. Vehim mutar pretty. You see, also parenthetically, the order of how you do it. First, you have to kosher it, and then you take it to the mikvah. Not mikvah first and kosher second. Now, finally, there's one last area. Udvarim shnishtam shal yidei ha'ur. What about things that were done right on the fire, directly roasted on a fire? Kikon shapudim, like a spit, or va'askelos, or grills. That, melab number or, you got to torch them till they're glowing in a fire. Okay? Ad shetina sher klipasan, until a little bit of the shell, like the outer part, like just the outer piece of metal, whatever, kind of comes off. Umatpil, and they take them to the mikvah, they mutarm, and they're permitted. This is based on the rule we mentioned during the break. Kagbolo kachpolto, the way it got absorbed, that's the way you have to get it out. Okay. Dalit will discuss how we do hagola, how we do purging. Ketzad magilim, how do we purge an item? No senyora ketana letoch yora gedola. Let's say you have a small pot that needs to get koshered. So you put that into a big pot. We assume that the big pot is the kosher part already. And we're putting a small pot in to get koshered. Umamalala wine. And you fill it up with water. Meaning say, not the small pot, but everything. It means you fill water into the big pot, and the small pot is submerged in the water that's in the big pot. How far? Achia tzofal ketana, until the water is floating over the small pot. Umarticha yafa, and you boil it up really well. And once it's boiled up really well, it is been koshered. Okay? He doesn't describe what's really well, but we understand it to mean big, big bubbles. Not just little bubbles, but the what?
What about rolling, boiling?
Rolling boil. Like the big bubble. The big bubbles. That's what we have to do. Now, that's good to kosher a small pot and a big pot. But what if you chafe the big pot and you don't have anything bigger for it to go into? How do we kosher that pot? The Rambam will only give you one example. If it's a big pot, what do? You surround the upper edge with some dough or some teat, some mortar.
Clay.
But you make a little higher the wall.
The ridge.
You make a little higher with another substance. And now what do? Umamalamayim, and you fill it up with water. Until the water floats to the newly created edge, which makes it higher than the highest part of the pot. Umartiach, and you boil it up. And that is one way, and that would be a very difficult way. So what we hold is very simple. You fill to the top, and then when it's boiling, you put a rock or something else that will cause the water to spill over, and that will accomplish the same goal. I'm surprised they haven't created, this would be, you know what, they should tell Rabbi Veffer, this should be his next kosher thing, the kosher ridge.
The kosher ridge.
You know, you have like, it comes in five or six different sizes, and they can make adjustable ridges, put the little ridge over the top, avoid spills. Oh, it'd be a great thing for Pesach, wouldn't that be amazing?
You could have the Pesach rock, though.
Because you know what happens, you know, on Pesach, you do it and it flies all over the place, you gotta spend a half an hour cleaning the mess you just made by koshering them. So this will be a new, make it become, it could be a multimillionaire, guys. From
have
this
you
one,
spoken
right?
about this?
No, I just thought of it right this minute.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay, it's on tape. Everyone who's listening, you want to make $1 million? You're free. I do not copyright this.
Million, I don't know. But
anyway. Okay, anyway, millions of mitzvahs. Now, let me just finish this halacha. V'kulam shenishtamish v'hem atzlotiach v'atzlohediach, and anybody who uses his utensils before they've been boiled or before they've been rinsed v'atzlohilbin, if they haven't been torched, you didn't wait, and these things are need to be fixed up, right? So v'atzlohitlo, they haven't gone to the mikvah, still mutar, they're allowed. Why? Because we assume shekol hashuman shabahem, any of the fat that could have somehow be absorbed in them, or that no Saint Tom lefgam, it gives off a bad taste, because we assume that they're not ben yomos commercially arnu, as we explained. But if they really were ben yomos, then it'd be a problem. But we would assume they're not ben yomos; it's not a problem. Yes.
So this mud that you're putting along the edge, isn't it? Is that covering the pot surface?
No, it's from the back of the edge.
It's raising it.
From the outside.
From the outside
like
back.
Oh, it's on the outside.
He's like making a wall
inside,
around it. It's not coming from the inside. So the lip is still good.
Okay.
The lip part that you're
okay.
Hey! Tfila Zusha mitbalim kleya suda hanilkochi mina goyim v'achiach yudra l'achila shasiyah. This going to the mikvah that we require you when you buy these food utensils that are bought from a goy, and then afterwards you're allowed to eat and drink from them, Einon le'inyan tumah tahara. It's not an issue of tumah and tahara. In other words, because the pasuk in this week's parsha is not dealing with the fact that, let's say, a tumah person touched it, and because they're tumah, they're going to the mikvah. Now, sometimes you have to put utensils in the mikvah. Let's say a zav or someone like that touches something, then they become tumah, a real tumah. This is not an issue of real tumah over here. Ela midivrei sofrim. Rather, it's medivrei sofrim. Now, as a machlokas, what this divrei sofrim means. Some say, as is explained in the Jerusalem Talmud, it's a rabbinic enactment. Which is what? That it's going from the possession of a goy into the possession of a Jew, so you've got to elevate its status. Because the Torah, when it talks about the Jewish people taking over the spoils from the people of Midian, one of the words is used is vitaher. You have to purify it. Besides, you know, boiling it and things like that. So even though the word is vitaher, but that's only an asmach, it's only a reliance. Really, it's the rabbi's decree, and they found a pasuk that hints to their idea, but it's not a biblical idea. The Rashba understands from the Rambam here that this is biblical, and many times when the Rambam uses the words, because you'll see shortly, he's going to say, mipi hashmua, many times mipi hashmua means it's halacha lemosh misinai. So it's a machlokas exactly the fact that we take things out of the mikvah, to the mikvah, if you buy them from a goy, is it rabbinic or biblical? It's a machlokas. Either way, you got to do it. Verema sign, what's the hint to this? called Dover Shayava Ba'esh, anything that they captured from the Midianites that came under fire. So Tavir Ba'esh, you've got to make fire to purge it, but then it says the word Vitoher and purify. What are you going to say the word purify? Hello, what you got to now take it to the mikvah, and now it's left the hands of a goy, and you're elevating it. Since you're elevating, because a Jew is going to use the utensil for holier ideas, so you're taking, just like for example, when a man goes to mikvah on Erev Shabbos, it's not because he's tamei.
No,
he wants to accept the higher kedusha of Shabbos that's coming. So similar utensils more than plows. You know, plows are very far removed from gashmius. As a matter of fact, plow is something you're working with, and it's a good thing for a goy to work. It's a good thing for a yid to work. Yeah. A goy can't sully spiritually a plow too much. But when a goy is using utensils for food, I mean, goyim can be very riotous and obnoxious and sinful when during their meals, and now it's as if the utensils have been used in a very not good environment. So now it's going to go into a holier environment called the Jewish home. So now it has to acquire a higher level of spirituality, and that's why we make it go to the mikveh. It's all a rabbinic understanding that this is in a Jewish home, so it's been elevated in status. Just like Shabbos, you have to go to the mikveh because you're going to go into a Jewish Shabbos, and you're elevated from that as well.
Yeah, but Rabbi, when I buy my new dishes from the
it's from a goy.
No, but if I'm talking about buying it brand new from the store, we don't have this issue.
But it's still it's across the board. It's low plug. We don't get into it. You buy from a goy. Elevated status. Even the guy who sells it, he only sells it to make money. That's all. He doesn't think that when a goy deals with anything in this world, there's no kedusha. Let's even say further. Let's say he's not doing terrible things. Let's say it's nothing. It's a zero. It's not bad, but it ain't holy either.
But there's a lot of things we have from goys that we don't look at it this way.
But things have to do with food.
You're eating.
Eating is a more internalizing. Spiritual. I'm going to use it
for my
eating.
Shaver,
that's more of a spiritual thing.
A
I'm going to want it, and I want to have a good spiritual feeling with it. So when it's gone out of goyish hands, I've got to elevate it that it's ready to grace my table. Because my table is a mizbeach. And since it's an altar, I want this to be ready for an altar. Even though he didn't do anything bad, but he wasn't doing anything holy about it either.
So if I buy a challah board in Mea Shearim, I don't have to do this?
It depends on the...
I mean, you have to ask its pedigree? I don't know.
It depends on the material that it's made out of.
But I mean, generally...
Who made it?
And who made it? Depends on who made it. If Goy made it, then you have
to. It's usually made in China, even if you buy it in Israel.
Well, yes and no.
If it's made in China, then you've got to take it to the mikvah. But it depends.
If it's wood. If it's wood. It's a cutting board made out of wood.
A challah knife, if it was bought from a Goyish source, and made by a Goy, you have to take it to the mikvah. There's no question about it.
But if you buy something in Hebron, most of the stuff is made there in Hebron.
I would hope so. I don't know. You have to always ask. You know, you can't assume anything anymore. So many things. You know, what I just saw in a movie today. It's a nice movie. It's called...
I got to cut the tape now.
No, I'm checking it for the shul.
You shock Sam.
It's called Against All Odds. It's a video of this secular Jew who... was hired by his news agency to do a video of the miracles that happened in Eretz Yisrael. And it's a 6-disc video. He's going from a goyish perspective with an open mind. How do you explain the survival of the state of Israel?
Huh.
Is it a miracle or not? It's 6 discs, 9 discs, I don't know. So one of the things that was... So today when I'm on the bike for an hour, I'm watching with Menachem. So I'm trying to see if it's...
He's on the bike too now with
no,
you?
No, if it's Roy to show in the shul. I don't know. I'm not sure. Because of all the proofs they could have brought, they didn't bring the best proof. Anyway. But anyway, so one thing they mentioned, interestingly enough, I forgot the number. I could be off on my... They say like Israel exports... I don't remember the number. It could be like 4 million flowers a day or something. Like a flowers, you know, pretty flowers. But you know what happens is most of them, not a lot of them, goes to the Netherlands, And then the Netherlands sells it to the Arabs. Goes right back to the Arabs. Because the Arabs won't buy it from them. Won't buy it from Yidden, Chas v'Shalom.
That's just between our two.
Holland, whatever.
It's a flower.
Yeah, so they sell it to Holland, and then Holland goes right back on the next plane.
just between our two lips.
To the Arabs, right? Yes, between our two lips, right. So anyway, same idea. So when you buy something, you know, there's a good chance this guy's a goyish source, so you might as well, you know, take a mixture unless you're not sure.
Mentioned before about elevated utensils, but we don't care if it's plastic. When we've all sorts of...
So I have to know what's considered a permanent utensil, real utensil, things that are temporary, different materials. But we can't make decrees more than what the rabbis did. We only can do what it said in the Torah. The Torah specifically mentioned metal. Metal. How glass is learned, the rabbis learned from another thing. We can't do more than what God asked us to do. Metal's chashuv, metal's glass a long time. In those days, they didn't have plastics. Yeah. So I have to question.
Elevating utensils,
I understand, but we can only decree on what God decreed. We can't add on to his decrees. And more than that, you know, generally speaking, metal's going to last forever. Others are kind of temporary. I think they're kind of temporary. All right, but this is a rabbinic decree according to most means, and we don't add on to what the rabbis decreed.
As long as it's with and without a bracha,
anyway, we'll leave that for later. Anyway, let's just finish up this halacha. V'kolat tmeim, and anything that's tamei bitfila olim mitumasim. When you take it to the mikveh, it goes elevates itself from its tumah, and just like. Oh, in other words, he's trying to prove what did the pasuk mean when it said v'toher. Alright? So generally when anything is tuma, you go to the mikvah and you get rid of the tuma. V'tumas meis, what about touch a person who is dead and you're tuma? V'hazaa, you sprinkle, right, the shparaduma, and then utvila goes to the mikvah, but v'ein shomesh, but there's no fire.
No.
Do you have to burn the guy?
No.
The pasuk says over here, you pass it by in fire and you make it tar. So I don't get you past the fire, and someone's going to the mikvah. Well, we're talking about the tumah of a person? No. We're talking about the goy who has cooked with it and has put his treif into it. They came in shekos of it taher, or it sounds like you say you purify it. The rabbis say, host lotara acharis resh. We add a purity to it after we've made it come through the fire to purge it from the fire. Lature megiule goyim, that we're purifying it from that, from the they by having in the fire from whatever treif they cooked into it, and then we have to get an extra tahara that is now going into a Jewish home. Okay, now, above, next week, we'll talk about exactly what types of materials and things like that.